This is a production of Cornell University.
SA meeting November 29th, 2007.
Meeting called to order 4:45 PM. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Yep.
Excuse me now.
Yes.
Here.
Here.
Excuse.
Here.
Excuse.
Excuse.
Yes. Okay, we're now going to move on to the approval of the minutes. Inside your package, you should have a copy of the minutes from the November 8th meeting. Please go ahead and take a look through those. I'll accept any motions at this time. I'm going to call for acclamation. Is there a second? Is there any dissent? Okay, see no dissent. The minutes are approved. Moving on to open microphone. At this point, if there's any members of the community that wish to speak on any item that's currently not on the agenda, please step forward to the microphone and state your name and year for the record. Okay. Moving on to announcements and reports. I do not believe there's any announcements or reports on the agenda. Does anybody have any additional announcements? Vice President Nataraj.
Yeah, just really quick, please pick up your shirts from Terry Eckert's office. Pick them up from Terry Eckert's office. She's got like 1,000 boxes in there, and I feel very bad. So, get down there. Bye.
Any further announcements? Okay, so you know other announcements, we're going to move on to business of the day. The first item on the business of the day is our final hearing for the Student Assembly's allocation of the 2008-2010 Student Activity Fee. The final organization is the Student Assembly Finance Commission. I think Luke is here?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And I.
Okay, Luke, thanks so much for coming by. At this point, go ahead and take 5 minutes to introduce the SAFC, which I'll be pretty familiar with this at this point. When you're finished making your presentation, I'm going to turn the microphone over to Vice President Gay, who's going to summarize the decision of the Appropriations Committee regarding SAFC's budget application, at which point we'll open it up for discussion in a bit. Okay, so Luke, you have 5 minutes. Thanks again for coming, and the floor is yours.
Sure, thank you very much. I think we'll just go over briefly. Of the organization, like Cornell Stanley, significant financial support is a great aspect of creating value in the everyday life of graduates. As a funding arm of the Student Assembly, the SAFC provides the necessary money for undergraduate groups to create myriad of opportunities for participating in supporting the organization and bring the peace among individuals. So, to make the campus vibrant, the majority of groups are campus, so we can have access to the community which is part of the SAFC. Unfortunately, friendships continue to raise and present.
Yes,
it is incredibly grateful for the vast increases last
fall.
However, this cycle, we're requesting an additional increase of 3.07% for the next 2 years, a total of 6.14% to cover general price inflation. The SAFC consists of approximately 300 graduates who will ultimately allocate the funding for the university to the organization on campus. The SAFC works with a wide range of groups. And we make our funding decisions as we produce. As they have seen, one of the university policies and guidelines established by the Student Assembly, the number of student organizations requesting funding and the total number of funds available, and information provided by organizations on their application. The SAFC allocates funding in a manner that provides all the student organizations the means necessary to reach the student on campus. The SAFC's job seems to get more difficult year by year, and increasing student groups and the increasing average interest coupled with a static supply of
that's 3 minutes left.
Okay. But anyway, so we're asking for price increase. That comes from the 2008-2009 for inflation.
Okay. Yeah, good. Vice President Kim.
Thanks, Glenn. We already discussed this briefly last week, but the Appropriations Committee voted unanimously to maintain the current level of funding at $75 for a number of reasons. A, during the last round of hearings 2 years ago, the SSC did receive a $12 increase up to $75, and taking everything into account, the Appropriations Committee felt that there's so many variables at play during any funding cycle, and looking at the aggregate connectivity to this point, they felt that 75 was an amount which was maintainable. And you guys, and I think Luke has some specifics which were requested at the last meeting regarding at least this semester's funding and prior semester's funding. But they did feel this was a level which could be maintained and still provide the same level of support which has been done in the past. So let's go ahead and move to questions.
Okay, so at this point, the speaker's list is open. First representative on the speaker's list is Representative Asby.
Thank you. I actually have a quick question on the paper approval. The 08-2010 SAF, the recommended the second column at the bottom of that, is it the same thing that we're using? It's basically the recommendations of appropriations, or what the student assembly voted on?
This is the recommendations of the Appropriations Committee, and then if the SA overruled the decision of the Appropriations Committee, that number reflects those. That's what we voted on.
Okay, so the total fee right now, if we keep SAC at $75, is $208.27.
So that'll be $204 because it rounds up to the next dollar. So $204.
Gotcha.
I actually have an updated sheet right here, which there was one small mistake, so I'll be passing this out in a minute.
Okay.
Actually, I'm going to pass it out now if you have something to
say. Okay. Luke, the question that I had, which was the last meeting, was there an excess amount this semester? And Adam, can you speak to whether or not past two semesters there's been an excess amount or not, because it's very based on how much the coach is bringing on. So I don't need to be connected to this, is what the amount that we had in front of us, the numbers we had in this last week in your budget, said how much we spent, we weren't sure how much we had, and how much we spent over. So I guess, can you tell us more why this increase is needed? And if there's a lot of excess left over, or if you actually just let it down and leave before
Sure. Let me just go up and address the first part of the question. So, in reference to the amount we have left over after the initial round of funding, obviously we allocate as much as we can, but we also set aside a portion of the money for things like appeals, special project funding, any sort of things that come up in the semester. So that's the money that that's going to be referred to. That varies based on, again, how much is set aside. This semester I set aside $40,000 for appeals to cover FAC appeals as well as SBA. And then throughout the semester, money is also given out in the form of social projects. And this semester, the majority of it will be given out as well as for the semester. In reference to the increase in the SAC budget, what we're asking for is simply to reduce the index of inflation. Essentially, it's not to erode the spending power that is currently bestowed upon the SAC. Without inflation, it would be decreasing the budget essentially. So I understand Adam's point that he made earlier, and I very much respect his decision.
What are the actual numbers? Like, for the past three semesters, what has been, especially the past two semesters, because they're actually done, after SAPs have happened and after special projects have happened, how much has been left over last year in the semester? Do you have those numbers?
I don't know.
Do you have a ballpark of how much it was? About
roughly last semester, right? Sure, I know. I think there were a little over 3,000.
So it was very good.
Yeah.
Representative Wang.
Thanks for coming, you guys, again. So I was just wondering, do you feel that like the SAC needs more money, or is it, do you feel like it's $75 is okay? Is adequate amount to give funds to some organizations? Because I know a lot of organizations sometimes do need the money, other times they have a lot of extra money and they just like roll it over to the next semester. So I was wondering how you feel about the existing mechanism is higher other than the SAFC was higher or if it was lower or something.
Sure, fair question. In terms of the increase request, again, it's not, we're not asking for a large increase like the previous cycle. I think that the current budget the SAFC has is great. What we're simply asking for is that something that's the next inflation for the essentially the money that's being given to the SAFC is not eroded in such a way.
Okay, thank you. And how much time?
45 seconds.
I'd like to give the rest of the time, you my time to Matt, that represented that theory.
Thank you. Okay, so I guess the only question that I have, as you can tell, is you guys utilize less, unfortunately. The fee, I'm just going back to giving you guys $50 a month increase, is somewhat substantial, so I guess the appropriation for the office is about to keep you guys $5. Is this semester just a fluke? Is there actually a diary in the number of groups going up? Are the groups just requesting more? Or are the prices going up? What are the factors that are causing this?
Okay, actually your time's expired at this point, so I just want to follow up real quick. I think that what we're just trying to get at here is because, you know, we do have certain holistic constraints besides the student activity fee. What we do want to know, I mean, in flat out, tell us, is your organization going to be hurt by not necessarily approving the increase that you requested, but by going ahead with the Appropriations Committee's recommendation? You know, are they going to be hurt by that?
Hold on, can you just note that it's actually 75.53 based on the rounding up?
Sure, it's
75.53.
Yeah, $75.53.
Okay, so I can't hold that.
I'm sorry, I'll speak to the microphone. Like, is the SAFC going to be hurt? Are they still going to be able to function and fund the, you know, the necessary groups accordingly based upon, you know, projections that you have at this point?
Certainly. In terms of the increase, as you said, no, there's no diagnosis for an increase. Essentially, this is for inflation. Certainly within next year, if there were no increase in academic difficulty, again, we could have such a increase like that.
And Vice President Lab.
Yeah, with that, I mean, I think a lot of these issues were discussed on seeing other members of the Assembly on the speech list. I would like a motion to approve. I would still like the motion to approve the Appropriations Committee. I think all the issues were touched, and I think that last comment by Luke, I appreciate that. Really did it for me.
Okay, so it's been a motion to approve the decision of the Appropriations Committee, and there's a second. Is there any dissent? Okay, so there's a dissent. Go ahead and just quickly explain your dissent.
I kind of wanted to question the SAFC about the level of improvement in the organization after the $12 increase that hasn't seen that data. And I just wanted to
the level of recruitment, you said?
The level of improvement,
improvement.
Of the SAFC itself after that large increase 2 years ago and what they've done with money.
Okay, so at this point, that's going to require 2/3 to move to a vote. All in favor of moving to a vote, please raise your hand. All opposed? Okay, so the motion fails. At this point, the speaker's list is empty. Okay. Again, we spoke about this earlier. I'm going to move it to a question if there's nobody on the speaker's list. So.
No, I had it when you were taking it.
You have 2 minutes.
Basically, the question I answered my dissent. What type of improvement has occurred in the past 2 years based on a $12 increase about 2 years ago? Like data wise, like has there been more organizations that apply for funding? What type of data do you supply that resulted from a $12 increase 2 years ago? And
sure, in terms of data, I'd love to present that before you today. Unfortunately, I wasn't informed that. But I don't have those specific numbers with me, what's communicated to me. In terms of the improvement that's been made, I guess, since the $12 increase, you know, every semester, this is very standard, but the request for funds that we receive far exceeds the amount that we actually give out. So essentially, any increase in funding will go to meet those requests. But in terms of fully funding every single request without raising the activity fee at an absurd amount, I don't really think that's possible.
Representative Coombs.
Yeah, you
look like I
understand.
Thank you.
The one question that I do have is the thing we've been asking for. We hear groups come up here, for example, Paramount Matters come up here and they said that they would like to buy funded businesses. They listen all these funds they have to come on, they cut us here, they cut us there, they make them down here. Yeah. And a lot of times, we just think that I have to show change by that day. You guys are only group that is buying funded businesses, actually, this assembly, one of these assemblies, maybe. So I don't think that we should show change, you guys. give to freshmen. So I just want to make sure that given the adequate money to do what they need to do, do you think that the group will still be a short change given the increase in price of $275? Would that actually mean an increase or not? Do you think that would warrant an increase?
I guess to address your question, I mean, it's certainly. If we experience the item that every year, but if that's not provided for, then essentially in real terms, there's less money to give to the students for the academic year. So, I mean, naturally, there's less money for the students for the academic year.
Vice President Kay.
I'd like to call the question.
Second.
It's been motion approved.
Approved.
No motion approved. The decision of the appropriations committee. There's a second.
Second.
There's a second. Is there any dissent? Okay. See no dissent. We're going to move this right to a vote. At this point, Luke, you have 2 minutes to make any statements you wish to make. At which point, I'm going to turn the microphone over back to Vice President Gay, who again is going to summarize the decision of the appropriations committee, and then we'll move this to a roll call vote. Okay. So thanks again for coming by, and you have 2 minutes.
Okay. Great. Again, so in terms of the increase the FDA is asking for, it's very basic. It's standard. It's based on inflation to approximately 3% for the next 2 years. And at that point, we will continue on with our objectives.
Okay. And Vice President Gill.
Thanks a lot. The recommendation to keep it at 75 has no reflection on the board or the activities whatsoever. It's just that taking a look at the aggregate activity fee at that point and the actual impact on the overall operation of the organization, the committee did feel unanimously that 75 was the most fiscally responsible. So.
Can I make this a point of information?
Yeah, go for it.
Wait, you said that, what exactly happens to the extra money?
And I'll do
can we give it to SAFC?
If you look at the aggregate student activity fees presented to you as the budget from the appropriations committee, the reason that SAFC is funded actually at 75.53 is because it's mandated in our charter that when there's an odd amount, we have to round up to the nearest dollar. So in this case, it was 203 something, 203.47. And that's reduced, so automatically added on to the budget recommendation. So technically, it will be funded at 75.53 and stuff else.
Okay. So at this point, if you're voting the affirmative, you're voting to approve the decision of the Appropriations Committee. If you're voting the negative, you're voting to not approve the decision of the Appropriations Committee. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Yes.
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 No.
Yes.
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 No. No. No.
15-41. Okay, so I vote 15-4-1. The decision of the Appropriations Committee is upheld. Lou, thanks a lot for coming back. We appreciate your time. Okay. And now for the moment we've all been waiting for, moving on to the next item of business of the day, the final legislation to authorize the 2008-2010 student activity fee. Okay, so just as a few clarifications, for lack of a better word. At this point, it's going to require a simple majority of the student assembly to amend any piece of this spreadsheet that's been presented in front of everybody right now, okay? A simple majority of the student assembly to make an amendment to it. According to our charter, it takes 3/5 of the student assembly to approve these recommendations before it's passed on to President Scorton, and then from there on to the Board of Trustees, okay? This is a pretty serious deal. This is undergraduate tuition, but at the same time, too, we've taken a considerable amount of time this semester to go ahead, give these groups the time and effort that they deserve. We've had countless hours of hearings at this point as well. So I would urge you all to make light of all of that work that we've put into this. And at this point, Vice President Gay, why don't you take 2 minutes and introduce the final aggregate student activity fee.
Great. Thank you. First, I'd like to thank the appropriations committee. You guys did a spectacular job this semester. You spent a lot of hours talking about the budget. You should have on the front of you the student activity fee approved by the student appropriations committee.
numbers are the numbers which were voted on and approved by majority of the appropriations committee, and then as we all know, during the semester, we revisited some of the recommendations and those are reflected here. And the group we stated at the FAC recommendation is $75.53 based on our charter, which means that we round up to the nearest whole dollar amount and there are different students. So at this point, let's go ahead and open up the exercise. I think everything is self-explanatory. Everybody knows the groups. Everybody knows the stuff. But it's not. So I think that's what we're going to talk about.
Okay. I just want to go ahead and quickly read a quote from Vice President Murphy. The executive board has been in constant contact with her throughout this process. She sent us all a final statement ahead of this vote today. She says, "You have followed a thoughtful and considerable process, and given that the final increase is to $204, we will endorse it to the president," meaning that the $204 has Vice President Murphy's support. Okay? Given that, I'm going to move on to the speaker's list. The first speaker is Representative Asbury.
Thank you. Adam, my question is very quick.
Vice President Slickman.
Well, it's been a very fun process to go through all of these budgets. I've enjoyed working with all of you. I really want to thank all of the groups that came up here, really opened up their budgets, opened up their programming to us. They subjected themselves to a lot of questions, as they should have. We were very comprehensive in terms of looking at their budgets, in terms of asking them questions. Each left here after a vote, and we were very clear that they knew the process. They knew that they could leave here and this legislation could be approved or changed at this time. Quite frankly, though, I don't think it's appropriate to go back. By a show of hands, how many people have all of those budgets in front of them? No one. Okay, Ashley. Thank you. We don't have the minutes. We don't know the rationale from each student assembly meeting as to how people voted. Quite frankly, I think it's only appropriate to approve this budget, go through Appendix B, and make necessary stipulations next semester. We've heard from the administration that this is an appropriate amount of money. They will support us to the president and to the Board of Trustees. I motion to approve the 2008-2010 student activity statement.
Second.
Okay, there's been a motion to approve the 2008-2010 student activity fee as recommended by the Appropriations Committee, and there's been a second. Is there any dissent? Okay. At this point, we're going to have to vote to move to question. All in favor of voting, please raise your hand. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. Go ahead and explain yourself.
The reason I'm presenting is I just wanted to make a few comments before we approve the decision.
Comments or questions?
Final comment before
Okay, so at this point, we're going to be voting to move it to question. All in favor of moving to question, please raise your hand. All opposed?
You push it over.
I push it over. Okay, it's 13-7. I'm going to push it over. 14-7. At this point, Vice President Gay, take 1 minute and make any final statements you wish to make.
Two-thirds of people agree.
Bring up another number.
Okay. Guys, at this point, I think it sends a very strong message of the student assembly. is very strongly behind the student activity fee that we're going to be proposing up the chain of command, so to speak, to the President and the Board of Trustees. I would urge you all to vote, you know, by your conscience, of course, but, you know, have that in the back of your minds. So at this point, it's going to take 3/5 to go ahead and approve this decision. Will the clerk please call the roll? By a vote of 15-5, the decision of the Appropriations Committee has been approved by the Student Assembly. Guys, thank you for all your work. All right. Now, moving beyond byline funding, again, congratulations. That took a lot of time. I appreciate all of your effort. Move on to the next item of business of the day, which is the approval of the Student Assembly Finance Commission's candidates for SAFC Commissioner. Luke, are you going to be presenting this too? Luke, go ahead, take 3 minutes, make any introductions you need to make.
Sure, great. So as you guys know, each semester, the SAP interviews roughly 20 candidates, with the second to be on the commission, which is based on essentially performance interviews, questions we ask. We discuss the commission, TJ and Adam were actually present during our discussion, and present and vote on the candidates, and the accept them on the commission.
That's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, we
just go ahead and read the candidates. It wasn't provided to us.
It was emailed to all assembly members, but just please read them.
Yeah. So the candidates who selected, there were 7. Senator Lee Dodd, Kaylin Casey, Sil Chang, Benjamin Binkle, Stanley Bradshaw, Marion Heller, and Michael Perry.
Okay.
And the executive board.
Great. Yes, I'll just please tell us who your new executive board is as well for next year. Your new executive board.
The executive board. The new executive board. The two co-chairs have been Jack Castle and Taylor McGrath. The e-board will be comprised of the VP of Publicity, Elise Feldman, the VP of Internal Operations, Jonathan Raven, and our VP of External Operations, Danielle Fernandez.
Okay. Great. So at this point, it just takes a simple majority of the Student Assembly to go ahead and approve the decision of SAFC at this point. Speaker's list is open. Are there any motions from the floor?
Call for acclamation.
There's been a call for acclamation. There's been a second. Is there any dissent? Okay, I see no dissent. Luke, all the candidates are approved. Thank you very much. Okay, and at this point, the next item on business of the day is the approval of the Student Assembly Finance Commission's recommendation for the P&T handbook. And I think, yeah, Luke and Ian are going to be making this presentation too.
So just to briefly introduce this, again, every semester we review our handbook at the end of our budget cycle. We see what we can improve, essentially how we can be more funding more accessible to students, and wrap up any loopholes that are on the handbook. This semester we had a variety of changes. I believe this was emailed out to everyone.
It was.
You guys probably heard of the changes. I have a good idea for what this is for. Most of them are very basic. Should I just run through the changes one by one? Does that make sense? Or
how many changes are there?
This is the best way. Approximately 20.
If you can just quickly summarize what some of the major points were, like the most contentious points, maybe.
Sure. I think one of the obvious changes, perhaps one of the most radical, is that we decided to get every semester we have a problem with groups wanting to apply for money for events that happen to be
decided to do is open up the previous semester or funding cycle to two events that occur during the funding cycle for the next semester. That makes sense. So for any of you who have this sheet in front of you, that's the first item on the agenda. I think that's a great way to allow students to apply semester early and find out whether or not they receive money at that event or tell them something they would otherwise know. Further headlines, I think one issue that was contentious was our standards of documentation. I think emails came up in quite a few appeals. Now we require groups to include the URL of the web client they use at the bottom of the email for operating standards. In terms of other large changes, one that I actually did receive an email from this about, that was our international travel policy. What we've decided currently in the commission, to cap international travel at $1,500. This doesn't include hotel costs, but the organization, for example, that was traveling to Greece or Europe, we would certainly provide funding for that event, but only up to $1,500. And again, those are the three main highlights that I would say. There is a question that we're not getting to.
Okay. This point speaker's list is open. First speaker is Representative Asker.
Thank you. This is the last presentation that is the cause of having that this is documentation regarding at the end of that is there any way to clarify that anymore? And the only thing that I would use is isolated potential things to appeal for next semester, saying that the web and the URL is simply saying, like, what's the documentation to entail, or what's the thing that we have to face? Can you guys elaborate on that for you, or is there any more elaboration that you suggest?
Sure. Fair question. In that 15 effort, we have a whole section of that devoted to what constitutes proper documentation. So the documentation regarding in terms of the documentation, that would be essentially documentation of the event is outside of the user's control. I agree that the wording, for example, documentation part is important regarding the documentation. So what about the language as well?
Hartman and Wang.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Hartman.
My main focus, as Luke pointed out, was I had a big controversy with Canada travel, and I actually was sitting at a hearing when the Greece was brought forward. Because last semester, we kind of complied in the embassy, and so we put like an international travel clause that we wouldn't fund it. That was my main concern, is that we actually, I was an assumption, and there's got some complications in the embassy packet, but we funded international travel this year. I feel the principle of the SAFC, the principle of the connectivity fee is to create events on campus and to create that vibrant and that's why we have an activity fee. I think students going to Greece or going off way off campus is taking money away from what we can put to on campus events. It's deterring from this atmosphere. I think we need at Cornell more. A student can get that, I think, a conference somewhere else. It doesn't have to go to Greece, or doesn't have to, if they want to go to Greece, they can use their home money. I don't think they need to use the connectivity fee for international travel. If I want to, amend the international travel and have it so we do not fund international travel in the NPSC.
Okay. Do you have a specific
motion? Okay,
it's been a motion to amend the changes to the PNC handbook. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been a second. Is there any dissent? Okay.
Yeah, we got a debate.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm going to have a vote. Okay. So at this point, there's new speakers. Okay. Okay, at this point, there's a new speaker list open. I'll be taking speakers regarding the motion to amend that's been submitted. First speaker is Representative Asker.
Do you want to amend those speakers?
Yeah.
We're not discussing the amendment right now.
No, we're discussing the amendment right now because the amendment.
Okay. Basically, the only thing that. It's going to be basically an SOC type question. How many groups use this? Do you guys think this is the best thing for SOC to provide this to groups? That's the only thing I'm not sure about. How many times do you guys think international travel? How much of your budget is it? I would assume that the student groups are allowed only up to $1,500, and one person's plane ticket international is about that much, and the groups take a bunch of orders, tons more expensive stuff. And if you guys come up with that number, is it necessary to provide it to groups?
Let me start from the beginning. In terms of business comment, I actually think it's a really good thing. I think it doesn't make sense to fund international travel. I think it's using the money on campus to college is beneficial. In my opinion, I think it's a better way of spending the money. In that case, rather than, for example, raising the student activity and providing it as they see a larger allocation, kind of find ways to work more effectively with the money you have rather than increasing the funding to receive. I think this is a great way to do it by just completely shutting off international travel. I did bring that to the commission. The commission didn't share the same sentiments I had. We discussed about it extensively. It was probably one of the most contentious issues we had. It's kind of good both sides. Other members of the commission felt that it was beneficial. Others didn't feel it was beneficial. I was told it wasn't adding very much benefit. We discussed it, and the cap that came up was essentially compromised. But again, I agree completely with Ben.
Okay, and Luke, you're also next on the speakers list. Do you have anything additional to add?
Sure. I mean, again, I can kind
of. Okay, I can just move on. Great. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. I have a mic.
No.
Thank you. I'd like to disagree with Representative Harkin on this. I think that the student activity fee isn't just meant for the point on campus. I think it's meant for the students, and I think it's meant for the students wherever they may go, wherever they may represent Cornell, not necessarily just on campus. If that means going to another country and representing Cornell, I think that's amazing that we can have students in another country saying, we're here to represent Cornell in whatever we're doing. We fund people that go off campus all the time. I don't see why this is any different. So I encourage the full student assembly to vote down this amendment.
Okay. Representative Wang.
International travel, I think, is quite a controversial issue. I definitely see the importance of having students the opportunity to go to another country, really just learn things and bring it back. However, I still strongly feel like as a representative of Hartman, and Luke has said, and Luke is on the SAP, that the money doesn't need to be put into funding restrictions to other countries because so many students from the international community come to Cornell University. Cornell is a very diverse environment. We bring a lot here. And the fact that we need to send people away when there's opportunities here is shocking. And if students feel like they really need support to go to international travel, several of the FA funding groups are willing to give co-sponsorships to support projects that go to other countries. So I really strongly urge assembly members to vote in support of this amendment because I see no reason for more funding to go overseas when they can stay here. Thank you.
Representative Bailey.
I would wonder, I don't know if you should answer this question or give it to you, about to Canada by car. Do you specifically intend for this amendment to restrict the travel to Greece? If someone's driving to, Montreal to London or something, I feel like a blanket ban on international travel sort of really ignores situations like that. So maybe
one more for
a ban on international air travel.
You can go ahead and yield to Representative Harmon.
That's actually good. That's actually a good point. I was considering proximity to Cornell, and Canada is a lot closer to California. So I would most we've been wanting to obtain it as part of international. It's not necessarily about planes. It's about...
We need to find the word international.
I'd like to make it for international travel excluding Canada.
What about North America? Because that might come up later. Mexico, Caribbean islands.
Guatemala is pretty far.
Okay, so just United States and Canada.
It's an amendment to the amendment.
Okay. So now we're making... Yes. Okay, well, there's just been a new amendment, so we have to discuss that, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, since we were saying some of the same points again. Okay, so now the new amendment on the table to limit this only to specifically the United States and Canada, free travel between the two. Okay, so we're going to have new speakers list for that. Right, okay, so now we're going to be discussing just the idea of the United States and Canada. Speakers list is open, representatives sign.
I think this very idea of having funds at 1500 is sort of taking care of it enough. I mean, if you're going to say you can go to Canada, but, you know, not California, because California is too far and Canada is very close, or that, you know, you can go to the United States, well, does that include Puerto Rico and Guam? $1,500 is not going to spend a large number of people anywhere that far away. It's not going to do any significant damage. And I mean, sending enough people over the border to Canada can cost far more than that. So I think the cap of 1500 takes care of the problem at hand.
Representative Budish.
I had a question and a comment. Do you know what this is called? Do you fund alternative spring breaks? Do you know? I mean, for example, this is a fantastic organization that sends students to Nicaragua to help out the area in any way, and it's they work so hard, and this would eliminate their funding for no good reason. I don't really see the point in this ban. The students, the FASB, look at all the groups they fund. They don't just blindly assign funding to these groups, and so they consider all like erroneous expenses that these groups would be asking for. And so I just don't feel it's our job to limit what the SAC already does, except for a cap on this funding, which I think does this adequately. So.
Representative Harbin.
I want to explain why I want to put this more steps. We discussed a buy-in increase, 10 cent increase. We soon before that for a 15 cent increase, and we had a whole discussion about the buy-in funding. $1,500 is about 10 cents in student activity. And limiting a maximum of $1,500 for international travel, that means one, and based on FASB policy, they normally look at four students going on a trip. So that's about $400 for four students. One of the students who spent $400 on student activity fee to go on a trip. Even if it's beneficial to a student or to the group, you have to look at what if that money had been used for other purposes. Like, that is a huge assessment of a small portion of it, like putting $1,500 for that portion. I'm trying to, we're so concerned about where the student activity goes increase wise, it's $200. I think we need to focus on how we put rules, and this rule of making it harder for students to spend that much money on travel of that large of a fee. This is why I'm proposing $400 to $500. A travel for one student is a huge portion of the community, and that's why I'm urging you guys to understand this.
Representative Craig.
I guess I just had a prevention, and I'll go off. So, Vince, with the new amendment, and you're saying including Canada, does that mean that you're allowing money to go from Canada, or what do we, how is that distinction drawn?
Vince. Yeah, sorry. I'm fine with any, it's the cost that really goes to it. In international travel, once you get into it, then it costs really more than domestic travel.
Okay. Well, then I guess I just go along with what Representative Stein said a little bit earlier.
Mitchellburg and allow for Chesapeake Canada and money along those lines, we're looking at, we're going to give them money anyway they do those trips. So basically, again, since we have such a line of 1,500, they're going to be limited in that sense anyway. And I think also going along those lines, it's very important for us to have the equity and the chances to go to do certain things abroad, such as second the farm country and bring back, or basically spread Cornell's name across the country. This is every day on the market tonight. What we're doing is different. So again, along those lines, I think it is helping our university. I think it's offering the students, you say, well, it's just $400. Those are two things that have been in the industry for parents on financial aid or certain money. They may have to be left out of this trip that everyone else is going to be paying for. I think when we're thinking about our students, we're thinking about what can the NCAA do to help these clubs make those students go in the trip. I think we're making too many limits on this, and we should just leave it at 1,500.
Representative Wynne.
Quick question. So are these trips that are sponsored, are they usually during summers or during the semesters?
These trips only occur during.
So they're usually like a week or something between.
Okay,
so I just wanted to mention one more thing. A lot of students do go abroad to do wonderful events, such as what Representative Booner said, but not even the student activity fee. There are plenty of other financial sources that they can apply to get money for to go abroad, so they do not need money from the student activity fee. So I urge everyone again to please support this amendment and vote on this. Thank you.
Okay, quick question. Are you referring to the organization? You said other organizations, but those organizations are funded by the student activity fee, aren't they?
No, there are other
non-students.
Like what?
Okay, no. Let's go by the speech. Let's Representative Sarah.
I'll just be quick.
Okay. Representative Nataraj. Vice President Nataraj.
Yeah, as everyone has said, I really want to go back to what Representative Stein said, and I think she put it best. This amendment to the amendment creates a crazy situation where you can go to Alaska and Hawaii and not go to like Mexico. So I just want to call the question on this amendment to the amendment.
Second. Okay. And there's been a second. Excuse me? Yeah, at this point, we're just going to be voting specifically on the decision to limit travel to the United States and Canada. Okay? You vote in the affirmative, you're voting to limit travel to the United States and Canada. You're voting in the negative, you're not. Okay? So at this point, all in favor of limiting travel just to the United States and Canada, please raise your hand. All in favor of limiting travel to the United States and Canada. So all in favor of upholding the amendment, please raise your hand. And that was two. All opposed? Okay. And the amendment fell. So at this point, we're back to the question. We're back to the question of the original amendment, which was an amendment to limit all international travel. The next person on the speaker list is Representative Buttigieg.
As I said before, I think this is pretty ridiculous. I don't think we should waste our time with this anymore. We should not be limiting these amazing groups to do what they do best. So I call
a question. I'm going to call a question. There's been a second. So at this point, there's been plenty of discussion. If you're voting, what?
You're not voting the amendment,
the
First
Amendment?
Yeah. This is the First Amendment. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so at this point, we're going to be voting. So if you're voting in the affirmative, you're voting in favor of the amendment to limit all international travel. If you're voting in the negative, you're voting against the amendment to limit all international travel. So all in favor of the amendment and limiting international travel, please raise your hand. 2. All opposed? All abstentions. Okay, so I have a 2-15-1. The amendment fails. We're now back to the original question of the general SAFC recommendations for the changes to the PNC handbook. Currently, the speaker's list is empty, so Vice President Slickman.
Call the question.
Okay, there's been a call of question. There's been a second. Is there?
I withdraw. They want
to. Okay, there's been, the motion's been withdrawn. Speaker's list is open. Representative Govern, Representative Wang, Representative Hartman.
I just had a question about number 13 on the FASD not fund. Number 13 is a request for the purpose of carrying out propaganda or otherwise attempting to influence public legislation. When I took the PC handbook test online, the reason for that, was that is, you guys have a different thing that you're setting, was that public funding couldn't go towards supporting specific people who are running for office. Is that correct?
So you're referring to the TSL
right.
Question?
Well, I'm referring to what the SAFC cannot fund, and in the PNC test, that was cited as the reason for not being able to fund political groups. Is that still the reason?
Question 13.
What the SAFC cannot fund? Okay. Or what question on the quiz thing? Test? Well, okay, just go to 13. What the FDA thing
is. You're looking for a special opinion.
Right, so what's your reason and have you come into confrontation with the groups to try to fund? I'm just wondering why political groups can't be funded.
Sure, fair question. So in terms of number 13, the FDA book, that rule was there before I was even became a commissioner. Before I was a chair. So in terms of the discussion around why I was included in the handbook,
I can't tell you that as much as follow the rules. Okay, and you don't know what I'm talking about on the test, right?
Yes.
Is that clear? Okay, so when I took the test, which is, I'm assuming, justification, because the note says be below, was that public funding could not sponsor the direct support of a certain partisan campaign. To me, that doesn't really link up with the idea of like politics in general or political action, like certain issue like women's issues or like gay rights, like whatever. But so I would want to strike that. So you don't have justification, basically.
In terms of the PNC test, again, I'm well aware I've written part of this test, so I'm very familiar with it. In terms of following SAFC policies, it's not my place to be subjective. The rules.
Right, and I'm not saying support for candidates, I'm talking about political action generally. Because I know one of the groups, at least DASH, is a political group. I'm wondering how that doesn't conflict with this, and if you've ever run into conflict. Because if it doesn't conflict with this, which it should, then I think that should just be stricken. I don't understand why it's there.
Do you have any response to that? Or?
Again, I wasn't here.
No idea. Okay, so at this point, can you make an edit? Yeah.
Okay, so my amendment would be to strike number 13 of what the SAFC cannot fund, which is requests for the purpose of carrying on propaganda or otherwise attempting to influence public legislation.
So you're striking the phrase, so you're striking number 13. Okay, so go ahead and read the phrase one more time. Request for
Request for the purpose of carrying on propaganda or otherwise attempting to influence public legislation.
Okay, so there's been a motion to amend. Is there a second?
Second.
There's been a second. Is there any dissent? There's dissent. Yeah.
They can't receive funding to put something in the
public eye that's like, oh, you know, who's going to tell you that?
Yeah, go ahead and respond, because I think, just real quick, just stepping in for a second, I think that the intention of this is like so that, you know, an organization can donate $1,000 to a political campaign.
Right, right. And I understand that that's what I'm talking about, that the CNC is passed, but what I'm saying is it's really vague, and I don't want political groups to, like, flip through the cracks here and have this be, like, this wrong statement about political. Like, so for a group that would say, for women's issues, does this mean that they publicly can't state anything about legislation?
Is anybody in a position to answer that at this point, just from prior experience?
Yes, there's
Chad Holmes.
Miss Holmes.
Dean Holmes.
Dean Holmes, excuse me.
Yeah.
Hi, thanks. I'm a church student in Activities, and I agree that this particular wording has been in the NAACP funding guidelines for a really long time, I think even before my time. What I urge the group is, I agree we can't support specific political causes, and I think your question is a good one. Would it be possible to table this particular change so that we could do some checking in the assembly's office, maybe bring it up next semester for future discussion? If there may be a legal issue here, let's just find that out before we strike it blatantly and we know.
No, I understand what I'm saying. I think the legal issue, though, I mean, we can do further, but the legal issue is specific candidates, which I can amend my request for that, if that makes sense, obviously, for, like, campaign contributions. But if it's, like, political activism, I don't think so. So I could amend.
You can go ahead and change your amendment.
Okay, so I'm going to change my amendment, and the new amendment will be request for the purpose of carrying on propaganda or otherwise attempting to influence the election of a particular candidate in
to influence the election. So you want to strike public legislation, you want to say to influence, as opposed to public legislation, the election of a particular candidate.
Of a particular candidate.
Okay, so public legislation is stricken, and you're going to say election of a particular candidate. There's a second.
Second.
There's a second. Is there any dissent? Is there any dissent? Okay, so are you going to dissent or you're not going to dissent? There's been a dissent. Go ahead and explain your dissent.
I think we should have Catherine Holmes just to make sure this is okay with her.
I think she said it's okay.
We don't need to check if it's okay. It's not.
I would just suggest let's find out the issue of why that's in there and why the wording isn't being activated. If there is no legal issue, we can only do business. I don't think we should just expand on it.
Okay, and that's fair. And we can go ahead and do this next semester. You don't want to necessarily prove the change. Yeah, we can always go ahead and change this at any point. Yeah, I mean, this is a constant thing. This is just that this is like at the end of each semester, correct me if I'm wrong, the FASC looks at their P&T handbook and they make a sweeping set of recommendations for change, which we're now approving right now. But we can go ahead and change this as per our purview anytime we want. Right, so. Okay, so the.
I'm not withdrawing my amendment. My recommendation is that we make this amendment, and then next semester re-examine it. But I again don't want groups to slip through some like kind of screening process and then not be able to do political something to watch it.
Okay, so the motion's still on the table. There's been dissent. At this point, we're going to open up a speakers list. Speakers list is open, so the first speaker is Representative Asker.
I actually support Ashley. I think that what she's saying is spiritually absolutely right, and I think that I would just be in favor of her amendment. The only thing I would say, and I just want to make sure that it's fine, that we pass it and then we have someone specifically follow up to make sure there is no legal line that we're crossing. If there is no legal line that we're crossing, then that's fine. The amendment will stand, we'll vote on it based on any other standard that's passed. But if there is a legal line that's crossed, then as part of our vote, that they revert back to the current wording until we're able to, this is the last week of the semester, until next week.
So you're saying the sentiment is to, before we go ahead and perhaps break the law, go ahead and make sure we're not going to break the law.
I agree with that. I would like to see this one in the next semester if it's legal. I think that's totally fine. All I'm saying is that we got like 2 weeks of study period left. Like, if we don't follow up on this, if we go down and say this path, it's going to follow up. If it's fine, there's nothing that would violate the sin if it happens. If not, it just reverses back to whatever the parent version is until we check the message to change. Does that make sense?
That does make sense.
Okay.
And the only person left on the speaker. No, I understand. The only person left on the speaker list is Vice President Slipman.
Yeah, I agree with what NASDAQ said, so let's vote on that. Call the question.
Sorry. But the essay doesn't have that rule in terms of the FAF. And the essay is funded by the
FAF.
So
SAF or SAFC?
SAF.
The SAFC is funded by the
right.
FAF, right?
Yeah.
And the FAF doesn't have that stipulation. So the FAF is free.
So you're saying
right.
That it's, which is probably what we're likely to find out once we go ahead and just check this further. I mean, it makes sense. You're absolutely right. Your logic is 100% correct.
Well,
okay.
No point of question. Right now, would you vote just to pass this unconditionally, and then we're going, and we're if there's any legal issues, they'll be addressed. However, this is just a...
But she's right. It's likely not going to be an issue.
Right.
Okay. And Vice President Slickman, you...
I've called the question.
Okay, so he called the question. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Okay,
seeing
no dissent, I'm just going to call for acclamation. Is there a second?
Second?
Is there any dissent? Okay, so seeing there's dissent? Okay, want to go?
No, it just goes to a roll call.
Okay, so at this point, we'll just take a vote.
All
in favor of approving the amendment to strike the word public legislation and replace it with the election of a particular candidate, please raise your hand.
Wouldn't get mad at that.
Are you voting or no? Okay. Where's the act? 1, 2, 3, 14.
You got me. I was thinking of that.
I got all 14. I got 14. All opposed? All abstentions? Okay, so by a vote 14-2-0, the amendment was approved. So at this point, we're going to be discussing again the general recommendations from the SAFC. The speaker's list is open. Representative Hardin.
I think he's already on the first speaker,
yeah.
Though, wasn't he? We're still on the first speaker.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, we're doing the speaker's list down here. Okay. Governor Lang, Hardin. Yeah, Vice President Jeff.
Okay. Thanks.
You haven't spoken yet? That's impossible. I'll put you after.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that was a great amendment, actually. Thank you for that. I completely support that, having been involved in numerous organizations on campus.
Yeah.
And I think you've vetted most of the issues, and I think the SFC has done an admirable job in addressing these and bringing these recommendations forward. So with that, I just call the question.
Second.
Okay, I'm going to call a question. There's been a second. Is there any dissent? Okay. Go ahead and explain your dissent. Okay, you want to describe the contradiction?
So it says that we're not allowed to pay for software, video game software, new software, and television. And then on section 2, it says that electronic SAFC will fund for licensing rights through software. So that's the same thing. They're saying you're not allowed to purchase software, but yet SAFC is willing to pay for licensing rights.
Yeah. Luke, can you go ahead and clarify that rule?
Sure. If you're referring to the electronic section under... Okay. Currently we don't fund for actual digital software, but the proposed change that we would fund for licensing rights. So the clarification is more on that basis.
So licensing, are you saying you're giving the right to own the software?
Sure. There is an incident that came up actually this semester, which a group that we're requesting licensing fee for certain astrology software. Essentially it wasn't originally approved in the digital deal. It was something that granted that was granted. But it wasn't the actual software.
So licensing is the temporary right to the software, but not open software.
An example of this, I'm not very sure this is we just program for example.
Okay. So at this point, there's been a motion to call a question, and there's been a second. Your dissent was expressed. At this point, we're going to be voting to move the question to a vote. At this point, all in favor of moving the question to a vote, please raise your hand. Thank you. That's 16. All opposed? 16 to 2. And all abstentions. Okay, by vote 16 to 2, we're going to be voting on the SAFC's recommendations. Luke, you want to go ahead and take a minute to make any final statements regarding the recommendations?
Sure. He just mentioned, as you guys have seen it, it's a very safe change that I presented around the summer earlier. Obviously, we touched a little bit on the international travel issue, which I think is really the same. Number 13, on top of the FSC doesn't fund again, that's a change that I'll update based on what we're doing today. And again, you know, one of the highlights of the changes is the essential dealing with the early spring funding issue and how we're going to get funding to groups. For events that occur during funding cycles. But I think that these changes in the handbook, coupled with that, are making a lot of progress towards making it easier for students to receive funding.
Okay. So at this point, let's do this by roll call. Clerk, please call the roll. Let's do it by roll call.
Yes.
Senator.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
17-0-1. Okay, so by the vote of 17-0-1, the SAFC's policy change recommendations are approved. Luke, thanks again for all your time. And also, Luke, thanks again for all your hard work this semester. This is, I think, your last action as SAFC co-chair, right? We appreciate all your hard work and everything.
Motion to move Resolution 9 to business
and 10 and 11.
Okay, so it's been a motion to move Resolutions 9, 10, and 11 to business of the day. Is there a second?
Second, sir.
Is there any dissent? Okay, see no dissent. Resolutions 9, 10, and 11 are on business of the day. It'll be added to the end of business of the day. Next on business of the day is a statement that I prepared that I'd like to read before the essay. I want to congratulate the Student Assembly for having officially completed the byline funding process. For the past 11 weeks, we appropriated over $2.5 million from the aggregate student activity fee to over 25 of the most important student organizations, services, and funding boards across campus. Over 60 hours of hearings went into this process through the efforts of the Appropriations Committee and the Greater Student Assembly. I want to personally commend Vice President Gay for his careful management of this byline funding cycle. Adam, I learned a lot from your patience and your enthusiasm. Thank you for making yourself so personally available to every group whenever they had questions or concerns that needed to be addressed. I want to commend the rest of the Assembly, too, for your own patience and enthusiasm. But in addition, I commend your drive and commitment to ensuring that this process remains fair and thorough for its duration. At times we disagreed, at times we clashed, often in the most public of venues, but I do believe we shared at least a single commonality, the mutual desire to work for the greater goodness of Cornell. This semester we investigated gender-neutral housing, and a trial period is likely to begin early next year. We debated issues relating to the Asian and Asian American community, passing Resolution 8 to demonstrate our commitment to serving the needs of all students at the time and place that such service proved necessary. We reached out to our peers on the Ivy Council, and we hosted a SUNY SA Executive Board meeting right here at Cornell for the first time in recent years. Our environmental and our CIT and our dining committees were incredibly active, and I'm confident that the community is better off as a result of all their hard work. Byline funding had its challenges. Our interpretation of Appendix A and our subsequent clarification caused quite the uproar for some time. As demonstrated today, the simple majority that can override the budget recommendation of the Appropriations Committee ensured that the SA remained more powerful than AFSCOM throughout the entire process. I stand by our decision in light of the necessity we faced to make a decision, the best decision we could, at the time and place we found the process in need of decisive action. Despite all of this hard work and the tangible successes we've had, byline funding brought to light the discrepancies that exist in our charter, inaccuracies that remain unfixed, and holes that remain unplugged. Byline funding and its subsequent debates from week to week demonstrated that too often this assembly is ignored and at worst chastised by members of the same community we took an oath to serve. On November 14th, Mark Coombs, speaking as a member of the community, wrote in the Cornell Daily Sun, "If we really, truly, in our heart of hearts, want to see the SA change, we have to be willing to change along with it." Mark, if you were here, I agree with that sentiment, but there's so much more to it than that. Our institutional flaws, the guidelines, the regulations, and the charter, all that can be fixed, but the perverse stigma that the community has against this assembly, while having subsided slightly over the past few semesters, still lurks in the shadows, waiting for the most opportune time to bite. I'm not talking about thoughtful criticism. I'm not talking about challenge or scrutiny or opposition or anything of the sort. I'm referring to that utterly false stigma that the student assembly lacks any integrity or heart. We put our faces, our names, our reputations on the line this semester in an effort to redefine the essay. We thought that through sheer force of will and by allowing the community to see the kind of people that really do guide this organization, we can change people's hearts and minds and maybe, just maybe, bring them around and show them that we aren't so bad after all. But this assembly needs more than goodwill and good intentions. This assembly needs an institutional facelift. We need a system that engages the entire campus. We need a system that addresses both local issues and the broader issues of our times. We need a system that stimulates the community, challenges the community, forces them to become better citizens, a system that is conceived and envisioned by those who will be living under its governance for the duration of their time on East Hill. I'm quietly stepping aside and resigning my position as president of the Student Assembly, effective immediately. As per the Student Assembly Charter, Executive Vice President C.J. Slicklin will become the Student Assembly President. Ryan Lavin is Executive Vice President, and a special internal election will be held to fill the role of Vice President for Internal Operations. A friend suggested I articulate just how my resignation will go on to support the ideas or goals that I have in mind. First, I ask that my resignation provide nothing more than a sense of seriousness to the reform process we need to continue. When the SA eliminated tickets late last year, it set us on the right path. We've been moving steadily forward ever since. But this is not a soundbite in the Cornell Daily Sun. This is a 100% no-bullshit commitment to beginning a drastic period of organizational change. Secondly, we begin a conversation to address the structural flaws in our procedures and our governing documents and consider the best ways to fix them. I hope I can have a leading role in this conversation. How we do this will take some creativity, but I'm confident that the SA will find an innovative way to do it. Thirdly, we reach out to the Cornell community, and we discern what it's going to take to engage them. We consult administrators, faculty, students, and staff. We consult the leaders of the major student organizations. We formally open the door for all input, and we create a way that the most activist students and their SA representatives can collaborate in honest discussion. Finally, we accept, as an institution and as a community, that questions like these are not easily answered. Our current system is 26 years old, and even the best systems need some adjustment every now and then. The community has to take responsibility for its own student government. Those of us that serve it are students just like you. We expect and we even hope that you will be skeptical of us in positions like these. But for that to happen, you need to be engaged. You need to own this system, not just SA representatives, but the entire Cornell community. Scrutinize us, but do so responsibly. Question us, but do so in the interest of discovering the truth. By fall 2009, ahead of the next byline funding cycle, I sincerely hope that we have a revised system in place. I hope this body will recognize the necessity of such a conversation, and I know that CJ and Ryan, two outstanding leaders committed to this university, will guide the student assembly during the challenging transition phase that awaits it. Make no mistake, others before me have called for the dissolution of the student assembly, and soon thereafter, they graduated and left nothing behind them. I hope the Cornell community will engage in this thoughtful conversation and seize this opportunity to work the problem. I call on you all, let's come together, let's identify these problems, let's seek input, and let's find solutions. It is my hope that fall 2009 sees a new and modified system of governance that is prepared to work with the problems it will face. Thank you for the opportunity to have served as the president of your student assembly. At this point, CJ will take the chair.
Good job.
Thank you, Lon. And again, thank you for all the work that you've done for the Student Assembly. It was a great process all semester for the Student Activity Team. I think three-fifths of us are very happy with the results. Next item on business of the day will be Resolution 9, the resolution to support the efforts of Connect Ithaca to implement a personal rapid transit system in the Ithaca community by Austin Redman, Robin Salem, Carlos Reimer, Cole Street, and Julie Heyer. Oh, and Ashley McGovern. Business of the day goes before unfinished business. And the speakers will have 10 minutes.
Hi, at the last SA meeting, there was a presentation by the Connect Ithaca Group of Carbon Organization. We had the chance to ask some questions that you had concerning this program. This resolution is basically just the support of Connect Ithaca's mission.
the agenda for quite some time. We'd be happy to take any questions.
All right.
Last time we talked a little bit about it and people wanted to be invited about what it is and what are the issues that are going on with that system, what are the developments that are currently going on with the administration and the people that have staff are working on this. We can answer those questions if people want to be invited. If not, we can ask questions specifically about what would be the next step and send it to the work that we are doing. So, again, if you want to use my location, you can let me know.
The speaker's list is now being formed. Representative Butish is first.
Hi, thank you for your work on this. As an urban planning major, I just wanted to state my state of consciousness that I would go about voting on this resolution. I've seen too many case studies of cities that have implemented both like raised transportation systems. This is a major change that would take place, and I've seen it be successful in a very limited amount of cases, but I've also seen it be disastrous in many, many cases where it just casts shadow literally and figuratively on cities. And so I would be very cautious. I don't know. I guess my question to the group would be, we did hear the presentation last week, 2 weeks ago, or whatever, but how far is the group in this process? What studies have been done other than in the European, in this, I don't remember where the prototype was, but this would be the first American city to have this, is that correct? And what evidence can be shown that this will work and this won't be a star on Ithaca's city?
Well, about 45 seconds.
Before, to answer the second question, the last one, before it gets built into the city, we are actually going to build a test track somewhere outside of the city in this region to see what are the challenges we're going to face with weather, hills, and so on. So before it comes into the city itself, we are going to extensively study a test track that is going to be built. So that's that answers the second question.
So can I just, I mean, that kind of answers. So I would definitely support the resolution stating that we support the testing of the system, but I do not necessarily want to support something that says that we support the personal transit system as it is before testing. So that's just for the group.
With that, the speaker's time has expired. Representative Lang.
So yeah, I have some doubts as well. It's just like I'm personally like there's really a great system which is TCAT around Cornell and Ithaca area. And like it's not a bad system, but like, you know, with the technology we have we're limited. We're not gonna have covering cars.
No.
It's not possible yet. And like I'm interesting, I think it's wonderful, but I'm having a lot of doubts as Representative Bush mentioned, because like I don't want to have shadows around Cornell. This is a huge thing. Like, this is going to change Cornell just for like a lot. And like, I just can't go along with something that may be like it'll be hovering above us while we walk around campus, and I just don't see the benefits of that. But yeah, sorry. Thank you.
The group, there's still about a minute to respond.
I don't know how much you think how extensive this is going to be. It's not going to be all over campus. It's just going to be like on the outskirts of campus where you would be able to connect to go into the center. So it's not hovering around us like all over the place. And it's not an eyesore. I kind of reject that notion. It's main function is to
that students can then come into the campus. So the idea is not really to bring it into the campus itself, but bring it just around so that students have the access to go out to the stations and then go to the places where it would be connected outside of the campus, so to the mall, to the commons, etc. So it's not necessarily going to be on campus, but it's going to have the buses and buses.
The speaker's time has expired. Representative Asbury.
Thank you. Respect what other representatives have said so far, I'd like to commend all of the co-sponsors and the future co-sponsors who have brought this great initiative. And the fact that there's a resolution just says that we're supporting the efforts to implement it. It's not saying that the students are not going to be involved in hatching up money in retail. Obviously, we don't have expertise to do that. I think that just saying that this could be a potential alternative to transportation, it is a sustainable way to do it, and I don't think there's anything wrong with us and our support for that, and with that I call the question.
It's been a motion to call the question, and it's been seconded, and there is dissent. Representative Butis, would you like to talk about your dissent?
Yes, I would like to propose an amendment.
It's to propose an amendment.
Yes.
We're now going to vote to call the question. All in favor of moving to call the question, please raise your hand. All opposed. The motion fails. Next on the speaker's list is Representative Lander, Vice President Lander.
Oh, sorry. Question. I yield my time of interview.
Representative Hughes.
I would like to take amendment to change the Lafayette Airport result to say the students have supported the efforts of Cornell Ithaca to test personal rapid transit system or to create a small, what would you call the initial testing study that doesn't actually the whole system?
I mean, no, but like the prototype could be considered as like the whole thing to build a prototype for other.
It would be a system not in commercial use, so it would be just for study purposes. It would not.
Okay. So if that is the then to. Test.
Support the non-commercial test of
okay. To investigate a non-commercial an initial test of the personal rapid transit system.
So, to clarify, the Student Assembly supports the efforts of Connect Ithaca to investigate the non-commercial...
No, to investigate the test of a personal rapid transit system in the institution.
Okay. Do the sponsors of the resolution find this acceptable?
Yes.
They do. So, therefore, there is no debate, and it's made. So, we will continue on with the speakers list. The first speakers list... You're on the speaker's list now, Representative Sarah. The amendment now reads, be it therefore resolved, the Student Assembly supports the efforts of Connect Ithaca to investigate the test of personal rapid transit system in the Ithaca community. Correct?
Investigate a test, yes.
Okay.
Second.
The motion to call the question, and there's been a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, I will give the sponsors of the resolution another minute to summarize their arguments, and we can move to a vote.
I just wanted to say this resolution will send, basically, especially with the amendment, to send a message to the administration that we are interested in sustainability and trying to implement it in this connected program. So I think it's a good message to send. It doesn't mean that something's necessarily going to happen, but the message is important.
All right, and with that, we will vote. There's been a motion for unanimous consent, and there is a second. Is there any dissent? The resolution passes unanimously. Congratulations.
Unanimous.
Next on business of the day is Resolution 10. Resolution regarding Mann Library's decision not to choose Cornell Dining for the current Mandibles location by Representative Asgary and Mr. Tabak. Yep. I got you. Yeah, you're on.
Actually, we recommend Matt using all of the Calvert symbols when I'm signing the resolution as well.
It's noted.
Thank you. Okay, hi everyone. So I'm going to be speaking about Resolution 10. Basically, how this came about was undergraduate community members on the dining committee brought about the issue that analogies were not effective. The dining committee addressed this issue, and we found that the reason that the current either with it in that model was not effective, red box, is the fact that the analogies were set up at some point last year to investigate who to avoid a bid to for that specific location. And Cornell Dining was the organization that put in a bid in that location. And I think not only the Crown Dining, basically the reason being the Crown Dining's bid was too generic, and the Crown Dining did not propose really specific creative concept to put into that location. We investigated this and we found out that basically the committee had an evaluation criteria to 10 different points that they rated on a 1-5 scale, and Crown Dining did not receive high marks because they did not have specific requirements for what they were going to put into it. Basically said, whatever the selection committee wants, whatever the students of that college want, which is what we let us know what we're going to be doing. Speaking about this, Cornell Dining admitted that the now departed director of Cornell Dining was made a mistake in the bid, and that she did not clearly articulate to the executive chef what the greater concept would be, but the fact remains at this point that many students were dissatisfied that they did not accept the red box at that location, and that's what the resolution was about. Basically, what it says is that Cornell Dining was assured that they would be able to operate a location in Mann with the exact same in terms of quality of food and the exact same sort of creative concept of food that is currently offered there, but they would be able to accept the red box, which is sort of a Cornell Dining intended that many students are really going to have to be able to include that. The reason that the current sort of operating venue cannot accept Big Red Box or Cornell card or City Bus is because Big Red Box is basically Cornell Dining proprietary tender. Cornell Dining has overhead they have to pay back to the university, they have rented that location, they have to pay back to the university, they have to pay user wages, which other operators, if they have student employees who are employees not member unions, don't have to pay. So they have higher expenses. And basically, as part of that, Cornell Dining. As part of that, Cornell Dining is assured that they can sort of operate that location and accept Big Red Box. The Big Red Box case would be eating into their already existing revenue, which sort of will not help them with their box and fixed costs, and allowing sort of non-dining venues to accept Big Red Box. They're not willing to do that whatsoever, and the committee knew that going into it, that Big Red Box would not be accepted at that location. Cornell Card can only go to Cornell entities like the bookstore and whatnot, and the people who operate Man who are currently on the group that operates is not part of Cornell University. And so because of that, they can't accept Cornell Card, and stipulation of City Bucks is going to be off campus. It's an on campus venue, so they can't accept City Bucks. So they have to strike out on all three of those locations. If you note the last whereas clause in the first place, you note that the Committee on Dining Services was unanimously expressed dissatisfaction with the selection committee's choice. Basically, what I want to say to that is that this is not a resolution against the current situation against the people who are operating in this particular prime job. I think that given the circumstances surrounding why the bid was awarded to Mandibles, you understand why it was awarded to Mandibles. All this resolution is saying is going into the future, if there's any other location, this one or any other location, the Cornell Dining can operate up to the same standards as another location, but they'd also accept sort of the Cornell Dining proprietary tenure instead of go to Cornell Dining. The reason for this are that if you keep money on campus, all the money that Cornell Dining makes goes back to campus life. Cornell Dining has to operate on basically a nonprofit organization. They have to operate on zero balance budget sheets. They're not going to make any money off any of the units that they operate. It helps them keep jobs on campus. Another thing that was interesting to brought up at dining community is that like I think on the front page of the resolution, 99.4% of undergraduates, first year undergraduates, are on meal plan. The numbers decrease from there. They go to about 70% second year, and then they go down sort of based upon what they use to do them to be full on meal plan, which is just a big red box, 10 meals per semester meal plan, junior year, senior year. But based upon that still, once parents are paying for the meal plan, at a location in Manning, we'd like that to be the case on campus. This resolution is basically supposed to be the sort of starting point to start a conversation with Manning Library about how we can bring about the use of the Red Rock Pet. Representative Blanton met with Howard Rathke, who's directed outreach at Manning Library, and we invited Howard Rathke in. I believe it's Janet McHugh, who's director of Manning, and spoke to us down at the committee on Tuesday and made some progress there, but this is basically to move forward just to show them the students are behind having good Red Rock location, and I'm just going to use that as sort of a starting point to continue this conversation and how we can go about doing that. Can we make sure we find dining to allow us to do that, or if not, how can we do that? When the current operation time expires, change the operation so that it is accepted for Red Rock.
And with that, the speaker's time has expired. We could address some other points during questions. What's that? I just have a question. In your second to last whereas clause, you mentioned Terrace Restaurant Max Cafe within Statler Hall. I understand that Max Cafe accepts Big Red Bucks until 3 p.m., but Terrace accepts Big Red Bucks all day. So I just wanted to... We can address that if a representative wants to bring that up. The first speaker is President Greenberg.
Okay, so I got about 133 emails from supporters of, or rather, I'm sorry, supporters of Mandible Cafe, people vehemently against this resolution. And the number of resolutions that are, excuse me, the number of emails that I got in favor of this resolution was zero. And that to me is pretty telling. First, I'm going to commend the group and the 44 listservs that went out, you know, including my contact information and blood type, all that stuff. I appreciate you guys putting all that together. But the thing is, all that shows me is how far off three of you guys are. Because if I didn't get a single email supporting this resolution, and it was out there in the public eye to the point where 133 people at least knew about it, and it was a hell of a lot more than that because there are a whole lot more listservs, a whole lot more people on those listservs than 133, that tells me something. So just on that fact alone, because of the way that they were able to mobilize support for this eatery, which, by the way, at 2 o'clock when I went to go buy an apple Saturday, it was packed and there was a big line at the cashier, so people seemed to like it. I'm voting against this resolution, and I would urge you guys all to do the same.
The speakers have 30 seconds.
Thank you. I think, first of all, that this resolution is exactly misunderstood in its intent. We're not condemning Mandibles as it currently exists. We're not saying that we want it out of there right now. We're not saying that we want to do anything to the current contract with Mandibles. There's a big misconception of that. And in terms of the number of people that emailed everyone regarding supporting Mandibles and not supporting this resolution, we just like to point out that there was active solicitation of people who were going to be against this resolution.
Okay. Except people support Mandibles. And your resolution is regarding Mann Library's decision not to choose Cornell Dining for the current Mandibles location. And if that was the case, then there would be no Mandibles, which means that you guys are calling for Mandibles either to not exist or you're saying that it was a mistake that it does exist, which would mean that all these people, you just haven't even spoken to them, and you have no idea what they have to say.
The speaker's time has expired. How we're going to work this is I'm going to go three SA representatives and then one community member. Make sure you register with Parliamentarian Redmond so that we can go over that. The next speaker is Vice President Gay.
Thank you, Jake. I would also like to wholeheartedly echo what Alon just said and to thank everybody for joining us today. As a member of CALS, I'm sad to see that Representative Matthews actually signed on us. I didn't realize he was going to. His name's not on this. I've been there for 4 years, and unequivocally this year, all of my constituents strongly support Mandibles, want it to continue there, and don't want to see. And I realize you guys are saying that you're not calling for the dissolution of Mandibles. However, I think what much more rational approach to this would have been to say, we recommend the Cornell Dining, since it seems to be the major sticking point, is not accepting Big Red Bucks. Cornell Dining, go ahead and accept, and go ahead and allow Mandibles to do this. That's an issue of convenience, but that aside, I've been there this semester. I spent a lot of my time in Warren Hall being an AIM major. People love that place. All my constituents have been strongly in favor of this. I'm strongly in favor of this, and I would strongly urge everyone to vote against this. I think it's ill-informed, and it doesn't accurately address the point that you want to have, which is, of course, a dialogue. This is against the cafe, and I would strongly urge you to vote against this. Thanks.
There are 20 seconds left in the speaker's time.
Yeah, as the other
Speaker's time has expired. Representative McGovern.
I'd like to echo some comments over here that most farmlands also, they have far more local produce, and when we're talking about sustainability, far more local produce than Cornwall dining, and also the produce is provided by the Jewish farm, so that's also pretty important. I'm confused, and maybe I'm just like not getting the point, why can't, if Moosewood Cafe, obviously not technically a part of dining, if Moosewood Cafe can take their good bus, what's the problem with it? Trying to implement that.
Yeah, actually, that's an excellent point. The thing with Moosewood is that at Moosewood Cafe, they're using Moosewood's recipe in agreement with Cornell Dining, but that is operated by Cornell Dining. The Cornell Dining chefs create that food, and because it's an operation of Cornell Dining, Cornell Dining is definitely great, but it's one of their operations. It's not operated by an outside venue like the current location is now. All that we're saying, of course, that you and Adam Dillon brought up, is that if you like the food that's there, Cornell Dining is willing to produce that exact same food that they're doing, except they're just going to accept their good box, which is definitely a big selling point to me. That's the reason this entire conversation was brought up. When it starts to talk about local produce, Cornell Dining assures that they purchase at least 25% local produce, which the Dining Committee, since I've been on it last year, has been doing this for years now, issuing local produce. They purchase local produce for one of the quality specs, so they're going to be entitled to the quality specs. One of the reasons I think that UC's dining is able to production is because more than any other administration department, they're willing to listen to what we have to say, they're willing to make changes to the program. I think that if you brought up to them, this sort of location demand, you want to purchase more local student farming, they would absolutely do that. Like I said, this is not, like Steve said, like Justin, this is not condemning the term either. This is just starting point for the kind of conversation with people men say, how can we practice the farming operation to perhaps keep the children from being better and also affect their lives? That's all that this resolution is doing.
Speaker's time's expired. Austin, who do you have from the community?
First community member is Hannah Sadler, class of 2000.
Hi, I just want to, I guess the discussion comes up, we're having in the direction of maybe rephrasing the proposal, but as it states now, I just want to point out that I really feel strongly that it's really important to, that choice is really in the best interest of students. And as others have pointed out, a lot of people really, really love this cafe, and I really appreciate that the committee is concerned about access. And I think that that's really important, but I do think this is misguided, and that if we really care about the best interests of students, we would realize that this is offering an alternative. It's not far from other Cornell Dining locations. Students can easily go to them and other advanced library. I certainly do all the time. But you can, I think it's really important that we present this choice for students who want that, who need it. It offers us later hours. There are a lot of advantages, not to mention sustainability, more flexible, much healthier food. And that I think that a much better course action for the SA would be to encourage dining to find a way to partner with Mandeville so that they can have these at the Grand Mark if possible. I have personally spoken with one of the owners of the cafe, and she assured me that they were really interested in it. They know that they would lose some money to do it because they would be interested in paying dining. They would pay dining for the service. They would make it worth their while. That's what she said to me. I know they've been in conversation, but it seems like I would like to see the SA encourage dining to find a way to partner with Mandeville to make that happen, because I really believe that that having some choice is in the best interest of students, and that there's no reason that the student assembly should support a monopoly. Thank you.
30 seconds left. I will give it to the sponsors of the resolution.
Thank you. We'd like to respond to that by just saying that we're not giving choice. We think that we're making choice available to everyone. And I think that everyone, there's a big misconception out there that by saying we want Cornell or saying that we would recommend the use of Cornell Dining when they're able to provide what the location wants. So if Cornell Dining were able to provide what main library wanted, that we would recommend using them instead of some alternative vendor. We're not saying we want Cornell Dining to have monopoly. We're just saying that Cornell Dining has these other opportunities to make it accessible to more people, and if they can provide the exact same thing, then we would recommend using them. That
time's expired. Vice President Lavin.
Thank you, Hannah. I think it was Hannah. I think you hit the primary point there, and I want to just expand on that. I first of all want to mention and clarify, I don't know if this was said before, Mann Library had heard bids from everyone that, I was at the standing committee meeting as well, had heard and entertained all of the bids. And they specifically said that the CU dining bid was far inferior to the other bids and Mandibles was far superior. From what I heard, if they didn't accept Mandibles over that, that would have been a poor decision and irresponsible on their part. And I think that we can recognize that. The issue at hand, I think, is students wanting Big Red Bucks to be, and Cornell Card to be accepted at Mandibles. And that's the issue, and I think we should be having a conversation with Cornell Dining on that issue. And I'm just not convinced that CU Dining has explored all their resources to really overcome those overhead costs and making that work. I just think it's a policy that they've always had at a very high level in their bureaucracy, and I don't think that they've really explored all resources. I think they can do better. I think they can do that. And also, I'm happy to see an alternative location instead of Cornell Dining there. I think there are fundamental barriers within the Cornell Big Red bureaucracy, and I'm unsatisfied with it, and I know other students are, and maybe this will begin to venture into that in a very abstract conflict, but I support an alternative venue such as Mandibles over Cornell Dining.
30 seconds left.
Final response to that. Sure. I agree with you that we need to work with both sides and see how we can come to a resolution to be able to all. I think we need to do that as well. So the point is to make this successful. This kind of location, the way it currently stands, is not as successful as possible. That's all that we're trying to do. I think that you saw on Tuesday night that we're having a conversation with both sides. I mean, I think that was the first time both sides were actually brought to the table, the same table, to have a conversation. It's a difficult thing to do because they're both sort of on polar opposites. I think that the one thing
Speaker has inspired, Representative Basil.
Alright, I guess that's going to represent the Levin. I really think there's a disconnect between what we're all talking about. We all want the same thing, but I really feel like basically what's written on this page is, I believe, different from the framers' intent. So the motion to table the resolution until next meeting to give the sponsors of the bill a chance to rework it so that it's not
There's been a motion to table Resolution 10 until the next Senate Assembly meeting, which is January 24th, and it's been seconded. Is there any dissent? There's dissent. We are now going to vote on tabling the resolution until January 24th. All in favor of tabling? No, because it's not an amendment and we're not voting. We're not voting on the actual resolution. We're just voting to table it. All in favor of tabling the resolution until the next student assembly meeting, please raise your hand. Do you have 12 left? 11? And all opposed? Abstaining. And with that, Resolution 10 is tabled until the next student assembly meeting. Resolution 11 is the next item on business of the day. This is a resolution regarding Hall soap dispenser installment. Thank you all for coming, also for Resolution 10. We appreciate your interest, and we hope to see you back in January. Have a nice holiday.
That was adorable.
Thank you.
What do you do?
No, I know.
Resolution 11 is sponsored by Representative Salem, Representative Asgary, Representative Stein, and Liaison Tata, and I see Representative Stein up there as well, and Representative Budish. I assume you're signing on.
Representative
Craig. Okay.
Wait, what?
All right.
All this was
I don't know. There has been a motion to limit the time of the meeting until 6:45 p.m. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Is there any dissent? There's dissent.
Okay.
Finishing business at 6:45 and then moving into executive session. Yes. Okay. In the interest of time, then, 5 minutes for the speakers.
All right, so thanks for hearing us tonight. Basically, as some of you may or may not know, in some of the residence halls, we have soap dispensers in the bathroom, and in some of the residence halls, particularly some of the older ones also that are set in street style, there is no soap provided by Cornell University, any unit of it in the bathroom. There are no soap dispensers that can be filled by residents, by anyone. There are no soap dispensers. The rationale, there are several different ideas for the rationale behind this. Some people were under the impression that it was sort of residents' responsibility if they lived in a suite to provide their own soap because it's a little more of a home atmosphere. Some people have been under the impression that just residential programs are too cheap to provide this. There is a public health concern that if there isn't soap in the bathroom, that people may not be washing their hands in soap and water, and clearly I think that it is common knowledge that if people aren't washing their hands with soap and water, that does propagate the spread of disease. So, it's just a common health concern that if we want to keep everyone as healthy as possible with the Ebola and everyone in the community, that we should be able to provide soap in the residence hall bathroom so that everyone has it accessible to them and shouldn't be put on the shoulders of residents in select residence halls, new and old, to have to go and procure that for themselves, when in other residence halls, they're lucky to have that provided to them just because before some decision was made, the soap dispensers were installed. Anywhere the soap dispensers are installed, they're used where they aren't, where they haven't been installed, and the soap is provided. So there's really this bizarre sort of arbitrary distinction in residence halls that have soap and that do not. We do not feel that it is that anyone has been managed to have soap provided in the residence hall bathroom. I'm a resident advisor. I've spoken with executives in the Department of Presidential Programs, hired local administrators, and they fully support this solution as well. They would love to see soap in the residence hall bathroom. I'm comfortable telling you all that. I was told by one of the administrators that only thing that isn't soap in the residence hall bathroom is because of a student decision from this body a number of years ago. I don't know when. I don't have the details on that. But I was told that the reason there's soap in the bathroom is that there was an FA decision. At the time, there was an issue of vandalism with soap dispensers, and they motioned that they did not want any soap dispensers for the bathroom, and that residential program was second, I think, there was a few decisions, and that if the FA was put on the resolution, that residential program saying that it was likely to go ahead and support that building and put soap in all of the residential bathrooms.
Do you have any information on that resolution? Who told you that?
I would change the second whereas clause to a state whereas things like residential programs would like to gain a bit of student support to help push this forward to help install those points or limit the cost of it.
Right, but can you answer the question of where this came from?
Kirsten Post ANAD, Kirsten Post POSTBASEYNAD. She's one of the assistant directors of residential programs. I spoke with her privately about this issue, and she's the one who informed me that there was a student decision, and that residential programs respect all student decisions, and that's why they were.
I didn't know that.
Okay, you still have a minute left. Go ahead now.
You can see sort of at the bottom there that says that the footnote that says that this is on conversations with assistant directors, which Josh just noted. We've tried to find a resolution. We haven't located it. This is also somebody told us that sort of, well, put on them to find it. I mean, they don't have it, but we just didn't send them to use to support, which is basically what this is. The last question was really quickly about change consistency noted. The last whereas clause exists. If you look at certain residence halls, sort of like Castigo and Dixon, you have certain dispensers that are provided with some dump. And sort of the switch from time limit table and some residence halls to Steve, he was prompted by the fact that students have consistent access. Some of the kids in the rural buildings have table access, some don't. So this is the same kind of framework of let's be consistent. For some residence halls, you're going to get it, some are not.
The sponsor's time has expired. Representative Hughes, do you want to go over that amendment so we can get that clear so before we begin debate?
First of all, we'd like to remove the word duh from the first whereas clause where it says the risk of catching or spreading.
That's the step. It's creative. Okay.
And then the second whereas clause, we would just like it to state whereas campus site slash resident program. Feel that student support would help them in establishing soap in residence halls. And
hold on, I'm just trying to
work. Would like Did you get that?
Yes, I'm going to reread it. Whereas currently campus-like residential programs would feel that student support would help in establishing SOAP in residence halls. Whereas currently campus-like / residential programs would feel student support would help in establishing SOAP in residence halls. Would help with the installment. Okay. Does everyone have that? Liz, do you have that? Okay.
Instead of would feel, I think it's more accurately would like to hear a voice of support from the student body. I think that's what we meant.
Support. We'd like to hear a voice of support from the student body with help in the with the installment of soap dispensers in residence halls. Correct. Excellent. First speaker is Vice President Lavin.
Yes, soap. I wonder if it could take up so much legislative time.
Sure.
I have a question. I mean, I understand, I guess, this, you had to bring this resolution up because there was a former decision to ban the soap, but if there wasn't some former decision, I have a question for the ResLife committee members. Would this have normally been brought up as a resolution, or would this have been just taken care of through the committee and through campus life? Because that would have probably been the more appropriate venue.
Well, as the former chair of the residential committee, I spoke with Bill Walter and Sydney Lockwood, and they actually stated that a resolution would help their case that in pushing this forward. So they felt that student support would ensure that this got done faster.
Okay. I guess, yeah, that's my question.
Yeah,
I just think... Call the question.
Call
the Thank you.
Gonna call the question in a second. Is there any dissent? Okay. Speakers, take 30 seconds.
We'd like to thank you in advance for your support.
There's been a motion for unanimous consent. Is there a second? Is there any dissent? The resolution unanimously. And there's been a motion to table Resolution 7 until January 24th. Is there a second? Is there any dissent? Okay. The Assembly is now going to move into executive session, which means that all non-voting members must exit the room. That includes liaisons. I'm sorry. Lance can absolutely say something.
I just wanted to say something real quick. First of all, I'm hoping that we get some sort of a patent on representing Lavin's new joint big red bureaucracy. I said that earlier. I think that's really interesting. My second point is that kind of attitude of Lavin was talking about that a lot in his statement. It's just the notion that I want to make for you, but it's just a little more smiling. So we have to do some smiling and so forth. But
there has been a motion for more smiling and second is there any dissent?
The sun is
What a surprise. Miss Smiles.
With Andrew.
Okay. So basically, in executive session, we're going to be electing.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.